Bella D'Angelo Show, a unique voice in conservative talk radio, can now be heard irradiating stupidity, teaching critical thinking, and encouraging confidence. So forget the Mickey Mouse madness and get back to the facts with your host, Bella D'Angelo.
When I'm not doing all of those things, I'm irradiating, aggravating, demoralizing. The list goes on and on of what I do, just trying to do my part to make a difference here for the love of God bless America. I think by the time November hits, Eric, I think that by the time the election hits, I'm going to go somewhere and just hibernate and not think about all this. I don't want to see Cruz. I don't want to see Kasich. I don't want to see Hillary. I don't want to see Bernie. I don't want to see any of it. But I, you know what? I will bring my stripper pole. I'm taking the stripper pole out of retirement, out of storage. And, you know, I may not be in the oil field, but can I at least have some of the toys and the fun from the oil field? And people are sitting there going, what do you mean? What is she talking about? Stripper pole. Well, you know what? It was a big part of the show when I was out in the oil field, and I actually found a really cool studio. It's an amazing way to get in shape. I mean, it's a beautiful studio. It's Knockout Bodies. It's in St. Anthony, Minnesota here. And it's a beautiful studio. They do karate and kickboxing and all these things. And just really cool girls just trying to get in shape. And then I was telling Wilson, I said, how well would I hit it off with his neighbors if I dragged the portable stripper pole, put it in his garage, him and his buddies, you know, Friday evening, the ladies come home and they're watching Wilson and his buddies sit in the little lawn chairs as I'm practicing on my pole in the garage. You think that would go over very well?
Fireman push-ups and pull-ups, huh? It could be Chicago's finest.
Oh, we got a great show lined up tonight. We have talk show conservative Josh Bernstein coming on, talking about the phenomenon of why we are supporting Trump. And it's because we're fed up with the Republicans. He's speaking for the blue collar working, those that don't have a voice. We also then have, and Josh is a great guy. I've known him for a couple of years. I went on his show. It's an honor to have him on tonight, so I'm really excited about that. Then we have, I went to the farmer's market on Sunday. I was all excited to go to the farmer's market downtown Minneapolis. Well, they hadn't quite started up yet. And, you know, typical me, I talked to everybody, and so I walked up to this young man that was playing guitar and selling some flowers, and His compadre, James Bush, is coming on. They originated the Lamont Cranston rock band here in Minneapolis. And he's a good old boy, conservative patriot, wants to come on and share his views. It's pretty funny because he asked me when I talked to him, Eric, the other day, he goes, you know, I vote for Trump. Is that okay? Do you still want me on your show? And I said, you have no idea just how far right wing this girl is. I said, you just don't know what you rolled up on. And, you know, the thing that occurred to me, I was on a sales call this morning, and you know what the guy said to me? Because I pull up, I've got the big three-quarter ton oil-filled black truck with the limo tint on it, and Phil's got the Patriot all over it because I was on 1280 Patriot until we get that changed out, which that's in the works. But while we're talking, and I gave him my card with the Confederate flag on it, and he said to me, now, how is it working out for you, being in Minneapolis, trying to talk to people for as strong liberal as this state is? And one of my concerns is that, you know, the listenership has kind of gone down in Minneapolis, but it continues rising in the rest of the U.S. So this show is listened to throughout the U.S. and internationally. And I thought when I was driving home today, Eric, I thought, is it because I'm so far right wing? And also, it's not like it's a typical conservative talk radio show. So if this is your first time tuning in, who took the fun out of the handbook of life? I mean, if you can't have fun and you can't tear it up, I mean, I am oil field, transferred back to Minneapolis, Minnesota, but I mean, I'm not your typical talk radio, but I never set out to be that. So I don't know. I never give up and I've never failed, and we just got to keep pushing on, because I have moments of great inspiration too. And then I tell myself, you know, when you started out on the radio in Williston, North Dakota, now over 5 years ago, I was happy to have one person listening to the show. Then I was happy when I found out there were five people listening to the show. Then I think about fell over when I found out that there were 100 people listening. But we're listened to nationally, internationally. We may even have Frank from the UK calling in. You know, when I left Minneapolis, which was 6 years ago, when the recession hit, and scared to death about what was happening to this country and this economy, I couldn't find anybody to talk to in support of, well, first of all, talk to, period. Let alone did they understand the establishment, New World Order. Did they understand that we were up against an establishment that was convinced we would never rise up and speak and fight against them, let alone have a leader? So I want to walk through a couple of quick scenarios here in Minneapolis that have given me a lot of hope and a lot of inspiration, besides the fact Trump kicked the crap out of Cruz last night in New York. But this is what gives me so much hope and inspiration, because, Eric, you know, and we'll bring on Frank here for a quick second before we go into our break. You know, Eric, like I've said how many times, if I would have said to you the first time that I met you, and I wish I would have written down the date, but I know it was within 4 or 5 years ago. If I would have said to you the very first time, hey, we're going to have someone running for office, for president, in this GOP nomination that is a businessman, that is self-funded, that is not owned, that lobbyists don't have them. He woke up one day, he looked at his kids, he looked at his grandbabies, and he said, this country is gone if somebody doesn't come forward and understand the whole political establishment, the New World Order, how to bring jobs back, how to make deals with the foreign countries that have lost any respect for us whatsoever. He's even going to go in and not take a salary. And then, first of all, you would stop me right there and you would have said, that's impossible. But then to have the entire Republican or supposed Republicans and conservatives, supposedly on our side, everybody's fighting against him, even those that claim that they were non-establishment.
Yeah, you'd have to say he's working against all odds, that guy. And he's still winning. The message resonates.
What does that tell you? What does it tell you, that first statement that you made? He's working against all odds. You know,
that just means the establishment is afraid of him because they've got their power, their corruption in D.C. and around the world, and they know he's not part of it, and they're worried they're going to lose their control. That's the absolute about it.
But I want to dig into that just a little further. He's working against all odds. Why is he doing it? I mean, it's a pay cut. He moves into the White House. It's a downgrade. He moves into the most stressful and potentially life-threatening situation with all of those that would like to potentially take him out. So, and this is what I'm so amazed at. Over the weekend, there was a conversation on my Facebook page. It went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth between one woman I'd never met, but we became friends with, and this other gentleman, who he's been a friend of mine on Facebook for quite some time, constantly talking about this true conservative constitutionalist. Let me explain something. You know what? There's a parallel between Cruz and Barry both of them constitutional lawyers. Well, you know what? My belief always was that Barry studied the Constitution so he knew how to break it apart. I believe the same of Cruz. And when I can't understand when people look at Cruz and then when they don't follow, I mean, don't you ever judge somebody by the crowd they hang in, the crowd that supports them? So when he's got Romney and Bush and all the rest of all the establishment guys, he's a politician. How do they still stand there and try to argue with us and say he's non-establishment? And then what I don't get is, why don't they see, let's see, what is Trump bringing to the party? Droves and droves of people that have never voted before. When people get to vote, Trump wins.
And the blue dog Democrats like Reagan brought in, the people that are hoping for hope in America, that actually helped them get up off the trenches they've been stuck in for so long.
God bless America. I swear, I'm going somewhere at the end of November. Hey, Frank, are you on the line?
Yep, I'm here. Evening, Eric. How you doing?
Good, Frank. Good to hear from you.
Oh, are you getting the same echo?
Yeah, there's a little bit of echo. Well. I don't know, Don, if you can help monitor that echo. But, Frank, you have been a diehard brother of mine from the U.K. You and I go way back, you know, 5 years ago when we did the Danish Defense League. Because
well, it seems like we go back right to solid rock bottom.
Well, you and I met when it was a month into starting the show. I talked to a good friend over in Denmark, Bo, found out what was going on with the Islamification and Muslims. We started the Danish Defense League. We did that show for 2.5 years. You've been your family to me, and you've been dying to get back on the show. You've been jihaded how many times, graduated on tonight. We got to celebrate huge because Trump knocked it. Killed it. I mean, I don't know how Cruz is only in hoping for a convention. Why don't you let everybody tell us, you know, from across the pond how you're seeing it and what you're hearing. And I mean, I know you're excited because if we fall, well, who's going to hold up the rest of the world?
Yep, that's what I reckon. I tell you what's made it obvious to me, though, sitting from this distance, you're in the same spot as we are. You might have two, we might have three parties, but you've only got two. But nevertheless, we've never had a real choice. I mean, you've, all through that rigmarole, all through this whole circus of primaries and all that, and millions of dollars and everybody waving flags and everything, and it means nothing if a few people can just ignore it and choose who they wish. It's ridiculous. I mean, God, I had it off pat. I've been ranting for hours in my head, but now it's all gone. But why? What's the use? I mean, I don't know where this daft rule come from, but I don't think anybody had heard of it before. And I'm sure it wasn't designed for the opposition party to nobble their front runner. I mean, they're standing there with an open goal, the ball's at their feet, and they're just trying to nobble it, and they're trying to nobble all. The bugger's taking the penalty. It's ridiculous.
Hey, Frank.
I beg your pardon for running on. I hope it makes sense.
Frank, we got to catch you. We got to let you go because the echo is really bad. We got to fix the audio for next time that you call in. Glad that you made it here.
Okay.
We at least know you're not completely jihaded, but the echo is too bad. It's reverberating. So love you, hon, and we'll get you back on when we figure out the technical issues.
I just hope that what I did say made sense and come across to you all right, yeah?
We'll get you on the
yes. Thank you, dear. We got to let you run. Eric, so you know, the one thing that I heard this morning was that the RNC is actually talking about if Trump at least gets close. I think they're getting a little bit nervous of the uprising and the pushback that we're all giving them.
I think they're getting the message.
I don't know how they can't. We're not backing down. We've been sending postcards. We've been emailing. We're threatening. We're going to take our registration and burn it. I mean, here's the thing, and then we're going to go and I'm going to give a couple commercials, and then we're going to pick back up. But so I was at McDonald's on Sunday morning, and I was just kind of peacefully reading. I tried to check out on Sunday. I told you that I did. On Sunday, I really tried to just disconnect from politics and just kind of, you know, have a little bit of me time. But I couldn't help it, Eric. I overheard this woman, and she was explaining to her compadres why she no longer backed Cruz. And she was talking about the fact that how can a conservative constitutionalist for the people, by the people, can be celebrating these voter list wins in these states. Now, I understand that they have their rules and they have their regulations, and I think Trump was behind the eight ball in understanding how those delegates were chosen, but still, it's the fact that you can be running around celebrating these wins with a voterless delegate choice. And there's so much more about Cruz that I was just proud that. So I got up from my table and I walked over and I introduced myself and they all thanked me. And I said, well, thank you. And I said, it's just really refreshing. Like I was talking about earlier, when I left Minneapolis, I couldn't find hardly anyone like-minded that understood the danger, understood the catastrophic position that we were in this country, and certainly had no one understanding what the establishment and new world order was. But as I had said to the gentleman that I was on the sales call this morning with, and I said, it's hard to not see that this country is in a catastrophic position. This country, internationally, the world, we are in a place where we have to get a leader back to take this country back, because when you walk around and ask, where is my God, where is my country, you know that we need a real leader, not a false hero. I got to give a shout out to, and then we'll go into our second segment. I've met a couple of really great business owners here, and I support them. I hope that you will call them and give them some of your business. First one is Aaron Petilla. Aaron has North Star Insurance. I called him up. I Googled him. I had to switch my insurance from North Dakota to Minnesota. Had no idea I was going to meet a good old boy, conservative family man. Went out there and met with him in his office. Not only did he save me on my insurance, I got to rant with him, but he is one of those small town business owners. When you call, they answer. It doesn't ask, press 1 for English or 2 for Spanish. He answers the phone. And he wants to get to know you a little bit and give you very good service. Small town patriot, good conservative man. So give Aaron a call. Aaron Petilla at North Star Insurance, 952-856-6074. Trust vets. So I had my big old truck with Patriot all over it up north months ago. Gentleman walked up to me, asked me if I knew about trust vets. I said, no, sir, I don't. He said, give Joe Johnson a phone call. I talked to Joe. Joe is not a veteran, but he decided he wanted to get involved in giving back to the veterans. He said you can give them a dollar, but it doesn't give them a life. So he established TrustVets.com. When you go on that website throughout the U.S., type in the business that you're looking to to do business with, or, you know, one of them's doing my taxes, one of them's doing my website, one of them's giving me studio space if I can ever get this truck up there in this massive traffic. But anyways, they're helping and sponsoring and promoting veterans that have started businesses. And who would you rather give your business to? Somebody you don't know, or a veteran who has served our country? God bless them. Thank you for your service. Joe Johnson, TrustVets.com, 612-799-7209. The next one I want to give a shout-out to is John Henke. John Henke has Locklead. What Locklead is a recruiting business that, if you are a veteran, you know of a veteran that needs to get to work, John will help you find a job. John goes out to businesses and gets them to fill positions with veterans. John is an awesome patriot. He served in Iraq. Thank you for your service, John. Just a great guy. He's going to be on the show eventually. He's part of Trust Vets. John and Locklead is at 763-355-5789. 763-355-5789. Okay, let's get back to the second segment, Eric, before I run myself out of time and we bring Josh Bernstein. So, you know, I know everybody said that they were, you know, how could Trump not win New York? But I had my fear and my doubts as I sat and thought, you know, how much is going to be, what is the establishment really going to do to the voting machines, to how much corruption can they possibly cause? But what an amazing defeat, taking, is it 91 or 95 delegates and basically pushing Cruz into the third spot? Now, I don't know how Cruz is going to mathematically go after it other than just to hang on and be the dog that he's trying to do just to hang on for the convention.
Yeah, so Cruz did only get zero votes in delegates, but Trump got 91 of the 95, so he's at 845 now. And then next week you got Connecticut, Delaware, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island with a total of 182 delegates coming up. Trump is ahead on all those polls by double digits, if not 20 points. The only confusing factor in there is Pennsylvania. You only get 17 if you win the state, and you got to fight for the other 54. But I think with his popularity, he's up 44% to Cruz's 20-something percent. So we think Trump's got a good chance of controlling 1,027 delegates by the end of next week.
I had a conversation earlier today with one of the superintendents from the oil field, and he said to me, he said, you know, if you listen to what Trump is doing, he's almost using Barry's playbook of what Barry did to win against Hillary. And if you look at how Trump has played his campaign all along, you know, first he was so, to many people, so unpolitically correct, so gruff, so you never knew what he was going to say. But his first job was to beat the guys he was competing with. Have you not seen a transition of him becoming more presidential, giving forth, you know, that I get so sick of, Eric, is when everybody says, oh, he keeps saying, we're going to be great, we're going to be great, but he doesn't give any answers. He's giving answers to his tax plan. He's giving answers to the border. He's giving answers to the attack on ISIS. But he's also calmed down and become far more, you know, presidential of what everybody wants to hear. But can you imagine what's going to happen when he turns his focus on taking down Hillary, which, you know, that was the most disheartening, last most disheartening moment for me was when I watched Romney's first debate. And then I watched him just completely crumble and go in the tank. He had more ammunition than ever possible to go after Barry, and he just let it go. But you know the thing is, anybody that comes up and attacks Trump is obliterated and is gone. Yeah, and I can't wait for him to set his sights and just go after her heels.
Yeah, Trump is good, and everybody says that about him. He doesn't have a plan, but if you go look at the website of all the candidates we're running, and then now compare Trump's website to Cruz's, there's so much more information on Trump's side about issues and how he's going to handle them, because that's his way. He's a businessman. He decides what the problem is, and then he attacks the problem and fixes it, where Cruz doesn't have the ability to really identify a problem because he's never worked in the real world out there.
Well, that was that's the point that I made on the Facebook argument. I said, what have we always been, you know, saying? The reason that our political system is so broken is we don't have anybody from the business sector. Now we finally have somebody from the business sector. And here's the thing. I think what scares everybody, a couple of things. First of all, the establishment might actually have to get a job. They might actually have to get off their yachts and all the rest of their Mickey Mouse madness. They're all plotting, they're scheming, and they're easy ride. They won't be able to control him. They will not be able to control him. And you put somebody in a position where you can't control him. Now, what I keep pushing back and I say, would you look at the man and what he has built? Would you look at his family? Will you look at his children that are so involved in this campaign, so well-spoken, their track record, all that they have done? You know, it amazes me, and I really hope, as Rudy Giuliani said today, he said, not only does he endorse him and support him, but he's going to go to his fellow conservative or Republican, whatever you want to call him, and try and bring them to Trump. He said it's a tough conversation. But that's our next mission, is somehow, you know, trying to get these Cruz supporters to switch over, because we can't do what everybody is terrified we'll end up doing, which is polarizing and not backing and not coming together. Now, we've got to understand there's a huge opportunity because Hillary is not the top of her game. I'm sorry, but Slick Willie looks like he should have been dead and buried a long time ago. He's actually raising flags against her and Obama when he goes up to give his speech. Then you got Hillary looking like she's almost half in the grave with these coughing fits. But beyond all of that, she doesn't have the youth vote. She doesn't have the charm, the appeal, the likability. She doesn't even have the trust. But here's the biggest thing, Eric, and I want your opinion on this. From the people that I've talked to, those that support Bernie Sanders will not vote for Hillary. So if he is not on the ticket, so many of them have actually said to me, it's Bernie or Trump. That is a huge advantage going up against the Clinton machine.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we've heard that more and more every day. You hear that Bernie Sanders people will go to Trump because there's no way they'll vote for Hillary. They've had just as big a battle on that Democrat side as the Republicans have been going through. And that kind of turns a lot of their own people off, and I think that's what you're looking at.
Did you ever think? When I talked to that superintendent, I'm going to tell this little story from the oil field, and then I'm going to give a shout out to couple of more great businesses here in Minneapolis. So I'll never forget the day sitting at the rig, and the superintendent had given me this video of Argentina and telling me that that's where this country was headed no matter what. And, you know, I always said, I mean, how many of you guys from the oil field heard me say, I don't want to die single and with the end of time or the collapse of the economy in an apartment in Williston. And then, you know, he told me it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of how soon this collapse is coming and we're going to become Argentina. And then I'd always argue and I'd say, but we can't give up hope. We have to keep fighting. And then he would say to me, there isn't anything to fight against. There is no hope because Hillary is the shoo-in. I mean, we have believed Hillary, water buffalo, whatever you want to call her, was the shoo-in no matter what. It's just that nobody expected. And that's why I always say when you have hope, you have to hold it in your hand and spread it around because you can never give up. You can never, ever, ever give up, Winston Churchill, because that, I don't know when we became fatalists. I don't know when we became, you know, just we were going to just throw up our hands and just dig a ditch and jump in and say that there's nothing that we can do. That's not what made America great. What made America great was the true patriotic spirit of fighting to the very last end until you couldn't fight anymore, until you lost, but you fought because you won. And I never understood where this defeatism came. And I thought to myself, I don't believe that it's completely over. I truly never believed it. I just believed that someone, and that's why when I went on Sean Hannity the very first time, it was very prednisant that I said to him, would somebody go get Trump? That was the exact words that I said the first time I went on. I did not know that 6 years later, I'd be sitting in a pickup truck on a cell phone with an iPad after spending 5 years in the oil field scrubbing toilets, flipping burgers, siphoning diesel, and sitting on the radio every single night trying to get one more person waking up, one more person paying attention, one more person getting involved, one more person understanding about the establishment and the New World Order. But transplanted back to Minneapolis, Minnesota, I'm using my best efforts to get this state to wake up, but I don't know where. I mean, they put Al Franken in the office. All I can say is our voice is going out nationally, internationally. So we're gaining ground and momentum because this country is waking up and this country is voting and speaking, and we're winning. And let's watch Trump just lay him flat in the next couple of primaries coming up. I'm going to give a shout-out to these next two businesses here in Minneapolis, and then we're going to bring on Josh Bernstein. So when I first came back to Minneapolis last August, I'm an extreme workaholic. I didn't want any days off, and I wanted to get to work right away. I eagerly signed up to work with Polar Builders. Spent 2 days walking around house to house with Charlie Bazell, and understanding the business, selling roofing, siding, and windows after hail damage, realized I was not working for storm chasers. I was working for real good businessmen with a good business plan that treat their customers great. They give an upgrade on their roof system while consistently always being there with service and a great team. We do not outsource. We have our own installers. And I just love them. I wish I could work for them year-round, but it was a seasonal opportunity. But I love all the guys, Greg, Steve, Dan Lillisal, Charlie Bazell, all the rest of the guys. If you have hail damage after a storm, call Polar Builders, 952-895-8100. Ask for Bella D'Angelo. I'll show up in my steel-toe boots and roof dance on your roof, but we'll do a very good job of taking care of you and upgrading your roofing system. Polar Builders. Next, I want to give a shout out to. So I'm selling granite now. I'm selling granite and stone. And I spent some time really looking for a long-term career opportunity where I could really build and grow. And I wanted a great bunch of people around me that had a great business plan. Well, when I met with Great Northern Granite, the guys found out we had a similar history in that we both worked in the oil field together. We had both built a business from out of nowhere, not knowing anything. And you know what? We have we import our stone, we fabricate, we install. And Great Northern Granite, we do a great job, high-end product while being cost-effective. Give Great Northern a phone call at 952-456-2226.
ask for Bella D'Angelo, and I'll come out and take care of all of your stone needs with your kitchen remodel and bath remodel. Now, I believe we should be having Josh coming on, Don. I haven't heard yet, but anyways, Josh is here. Josh Bernstein, I'm so honored to have you on tonight. We connected a couple of years ago on Facebook, and I was so honored because I was still trying to, you know, sharpen my teeth in the radio world. Of course, I haven't made it to your position, but you put out a great article about why Americans are supporting Donald Trump because we are fed up with Republicans, and I'm going to let you take it from here, Josh. Give a shout-out about your radio show, and then let's get into why America is doing what we're doing right now, which is the right thing.
Well, I'm glad to be back with you. It's been quite some time, so good to be back with you. Definitely want to talk about a lot of different things as far as Trump is concerned and all that, but just want to kind of also let folks know, which is as a spokesman for an amazing group known as the Association of Mature American Citizens. We are that conservative alternative, if you will, to groups out there like an AARP. We're a seniors-based organization for folks 50 years of age or older, but when we lobby on behalf of Congress and Washington, it's to put more power, more control, and ultimately more freedom into your health care decisions. We didn't spend $2.8 billion lobbying for Obamacare and then turn around and exempt all of our members from it. So you can learn more about us at amac.us, again, www.amac.us, or you can call them toll-free at 888-262-2006, 888-262-2006. I wrote this article because I wanted to really explain more than anything else to the Ted Cruz supporters that cannot, for the life of them, understand why so many Republicans are supporting a former Democrat who has switched positions and may or may not govern as a conservative. And so the article title is basically, Republicans are supporting Donald Trump because he's not a Republican. And why I wrote the title because I wanted to invoke that type of conversation as to the question, what do you mean? You mean to tell me Republicans are overwhelmingly supporting Donald Trump because he's not a Republican? And that is absolutely what I'm saying. And then explaining it and going through the fact that I've been calling Donald Trump for the past 6 months, I've been calling him Trumposaurus Rex because he's the monster that the establishment created due to their lack of conservatism in the House and Senate and their lack of any fight against the executive branch. So I find it funny now that the establishment cannot control the monster that is now defeating them. And explaining that we have Trump supporters and Cruz supporters at each other's throat, the Trump supporters believe that he's pro-America, which certainly he is, and his policies will be good for America and America's future. The Cruz supporters look at him and they say, well, he's a loudmouth. He, you know, doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't give any details, this and that. And they can't understand because they think that their chosen candidate, Ted Cruz, is the real conservative in the race. But what's interesting about Donald Trump and the reason he's winning so well and so much is because he's above party affiliation. You see, Donald Trump is not a conservative. Donald Trump is not a liberal. Donald Trump is not a Republican, and Donald Trump is not a Democrat. Donald Trump is an American, and everything that he does and breathes and talks about is making America better or great again, as his logo says. So when you put all that together, that's why he's resonating so much. We're supporting Donald Trump because we're so upset at the Republican Party for acting like Democrats for the past 8 years or so and not fighting Barack Obama and instead being their biggest cheerleaders. So that's why Donald Trump is resonating so much.
Josh, I got a question for you because this fight between Trump supporters and Cruz supporters reminds me exactly of I had a very good friend that was on my show on a regular basis, and he was a Ron Paul guy. And we finally got into it one night. Unfortunately, it severed our friendship. But he, you know, my argument was that we had to support whoever got the GOP nomination. This was when Romney and McCain right. and all that. And I finally get his point now, but what I realized was, just like the Cruz, you know, Cruz will not go to Trump, he would never, he flat out told me, if Ron Paul doesn't get it, I'm not voting. And there wasn't anything that I could do or say or get him to listen to, and it's the exact same conversation that I'm having, and these Cruz people are just as defiant as the Ron Paul. Why, though? I don't understand, especially when we have such an important election to keep Hillary out.
Exactly. And I agree with you 100%. And as I've been saying for the past couple of weeks, hashtag never Trump, hashtag never Cruz equals hashtag never win. We're not going to be able to defeat Hillary Clinton if we are not a unified party. You see, Democrats can literally strangle a kitten on live television. But because there's a D in front of their name, all is forgiven, all is forgotten. They get together and they vote as one happy group. Republicans don't do that. They'll say, well, I'm not going to hold my nose like I did last time, and I don't like this about him. I don't like that about that person. Back in 1985, they voted this way on a bill, and therefore I'm staying home. That's how the Democrats win. So the people that are out there that are saying never Trump and never Cruz, I got this to say to you. If you have to understand this one thing, there are four or five Supreme Court justices right now that can barely even fog a mirror, okay? They're so old, they're ready to kick off and pass away or retire or what have you. Do you want a liar, a thief, and political hack, and someone under federal investigation to pick those four justices for the Supreme Court? Or do you want to gamble with a boastful, bragging, in-your-face businessman who puts America first in everything he does? Would you rather gamble with his four or five Supreme Court choices or Hillary Clinton's or, God forbid, Bernie Sanders? I don't know about you, but for my money, I want to take the gamble with Donald Trump, because the bottom line is this: the Supreme Court, although it hasn't been lately, throughout the years when the left gets out of control, they've been the final, you know, the Alamo, so to speak. They've been the stop everything, stop the madness and the craziness. And now we're seeing that decision unfold here with the executive amnesty. We're seeing that it may be a 4-4 decision. I'm hoping that it is a 4-4 decision, because then it'll revert back to the lower court's decision, which is Judge Hanen's decision. And then we can wait it out, see what happens, and get another Supreme Court justice. So it goes to show you why it is so important to make sure that we have the right Supreme Court justices, because if we don't, and Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders or someone else on the left decides to put four or five radical leftists on the bench, you can kiss your First Amendment rights goodbye. You can kiss your Second Amendment rights goodbye. You can kiss your privacy goodbye. We will be a totalitarian state within a certain amount of years, because we won't have any stopgap left. I don't know about you, but that's more than enough reason to solidify the party against the left.
Well, as I had said to this one gentleman that was going back and forth on my Facebook page all weekend, trying to state his case as to, you know, all of the, it's just like they've memorized the sound bites that the media wants us to believe about Trump. You know, that he gave to all of the Democrat Party for all this money. He was a liberal. He supported, he was pro-abortion. He was blah, blah, on and on. They list it just like a Democrat liberal when you try and talk to them about conservative values. I mean, they all go for the emotional talking points, and then they get illogical, and then they finally get pissed off and unfriend you, which is, you know, wow, you're a closet liberal Democrat, I guess. But what I'm trying to understand is, even if I, and I said this, I said, well, I guess I don't know much. And I said, because I don't, I really don't waste my time getting into too much of the back and forth. I finally just said, but if I didn't know much, it would be alarming to me just watching Romney and Bush supporting Cruz. Wouldn't that strike a chord when he's supposed to be non-establishment?
Exactly. I would agree with you there. And look, I've lost a couple of people. I think that people that have been listening and watching my television program throughout the years, they know that I'm not an ideologue in the fact that I'm a purist. I want to win, and I don't care. I would vote for Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, John Kasich, or a crack-addicted doorman at Trump Towers before I would stay home or vote for Hillary Clinton. So I understand. I see the bigger picture. And I think that's why most people understand and have stayed with me. But, yes, there's been a couple of longtime supporters that say, Josh, I'm surprised that you're supporting Trump. Well, first of all, I haven't endorsed anybody. I will not endorse anybody right now to remain as objective as I can. But with that being said, I want this over. I want Trump to win the nomination as fast as humanly possible. Not because I necessarily want to endorse him or anything like that, because I want to beat the left. I want to destroy Hillary Clinton. And the only chance that we're going to have to do that is to realize that the American people overwhelmingly, not me, not you, overwhelmingly the American people have voted, and millions of people have voted for Donald Trump. There's something that they like about him, so let's get behind him, let's support him, and let's defeat the other side. You know, and that's what I will be doing from now until November to anyone that will listen, including the Cruz, you know, supporters that still love me and love the show. I will do that because I understand that Donald Trump, again, is not a conservative, but he's not a liberal either. He, if anything, you could say with his protectionist trade policies and his less desire to police the world, you actually could say that he's probably going to be the first libertarian president ever elected because of the fact that he has a lot of libertarian type of positions. And he's not an ideologue. Again, he's above party affiliation, and that's why they hate him, because they can't control him. And it's plain and simple. You can see it.
And let me make this, because here's the really dangerous position that we're in. So when I started to get involved politically, my reason was out of fear. I was in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I couldn't get anybody to engage with me. When I understood what was going to happen, when Barry came into the office, everybody told me I was an extremist, that I had very radical views. Everybody told me that they didn't care. What's that?
I heard it too.
Yep. And I was told, you know what? It doesn't matter what we do. Politicians are politicians. Our vote doesn't count. Our voice doesn't matter. There's nothing that I can do. And in that defining moment, I said to myself, that's what's going to destroy this country, is that they're, you know, I don't blame you for being fed up. I understand. But if I can do something to try and get people to wake up, because here's the thing, Barack Hussein Obama, I mean, just say that name a couple of times. How did we elect Barack Hussein Obama into office? It's because people were fed up, and people saw him as supposed, I don't know about non-establishment, but they saw him as a golden child, the black JFK. He brought in hope and change. He didn't explain, but he pandered to both sides. He said he was going to bring all of us together, and they were fed up with who? The Bushes and the Clintons. Now we have someone, a leader, coming forward that is fighting against the establishment, the Bushes, the Clintons, all of them. Now, if we do not get him elected, I don't see another leader that would come in and be able to, first of all, conquer the establishment, but most importantly, get the people to believe again. Because when you see people coming out on their exit polls saying that they are 70-some years old, they've never voted in their life. I talk to 18-year-olds that tell me, I've got Josh Kermillion, who is student for Trump out of Houston, Texas. He's 18 years old. He understands the establishment. He is fighting like mad. He is the president of student Students for Trump out of Houston, Texas, he said, I'm fearful of my future. I want jobs. I want someone making America great again. I mean, when you hear voices like that, we'll never get that support again if we continue with this mad fighting. What we have to do is somehow get these Cruz people to understand you got to lay it down and you got to ask yourself, is that what you're going to do then? Is you're going to be a Ron Paulite or you're going to be, you know, the no vote for the right and just give it to Hillary? Because if that's what you want, well, then we're ending America and we will never make America great again. We're not great right now, but we can make it great. But not if we're going to fight from within.
Right, exactly. And I've always said that, too. I mean, if you think about it, with the 7 million people that stayed home in 2012 because they didn't want, you know, a Mormon to become president, if those people would have went out, Barack Obama would have been a one-term president. And in 2008, if they would have elected John McCain, not saying that he's a conservative, nor am I saying that Mitt Romney is even a real conservative either, but they would have been a hell of a lot more conservative and pro-America than Barack Obama. So that's why it's like it's the suicide vote, you know? When you stay home, you might as well put the gun barrel to your head because you're doing the same thing. You're giving your vote away to the other side. They're counting on the fact that you're going to stay home. They're counting on the fact that you're going to be upset with the election and the election and the people and the results and everything else. That's how they win. They win through identity politics and divisiveness, divide and conquer. And people need to understand that. And I don't know what it is. It's this purity streak that a lot of these conservatives, so-called conservatives, have. If my guy isn't completely this way or that way and believes 100% in this, then I'm not voting for anyone else but him. And that is the wrong attitude. I always say this. In the primary, you vote for the most conservative person that fits all of your ideological needs and wants. But if that person doesn't win, you've got to support the person that does. Now, a lot of people will say, well, Josh, you know, if my guy doesn't win, I don't want to support the Democrat or the person that's going to be a rhino. You have to understand something. You cannot change the party from the outside looking in. You can only change the party from the inside looking out, meaning you've got to get back into power. You've got to get back into government and in control. You can scream to the rooftops from the outside, but if you're not in power, no one's going to hear you. You're not going to have any weight. You're not going to have any ability to affect change. If you're inside Washington, if you're the president, if you're running Congress or whatever it is, now you have an opportunity to weed out the rhino establishment types, get other people to run against them, and strengthen the party from inside. You can't do it from the outside. And that's what I try to explain to all these people. And it sometimes works, but sometimes, you know, it falls on deaf ears.
When we're talking about weeding out the establishment, I believe it was Krauthammer had said the other day that Obama was the most effective, destructive president.
Yep.
Now, so many people say to me, one man, one president can't go in. If the Senate and the House are against him, he can't get anything done. No, I'm sorry. We've already got that one in office. He's done everything that he basically has wanted to do. Now, can you imagine having the most effective, productive leader? And Newt Gingrich talked about this a couple weeks ago, and he said, you know what? It's great that Cruz is the constitutionalist and everything, but what we need is we need Trump to come in and do all the heavy lifting and to get the tough job done, because he has the kahunas, he has the ability, he has the business dealings, he has the international. Let him come in and do the tough, heavy lifting. Then let the constitutionalist. Now, this doesn't mean that we're not going to follow the constitutional, but Cruz is not a very liked individual, and if he's going to go in and get caught up into the whole stop and be basically a lame duck right off the bat because he can't get anything done, well, the further destruction is going to happen in this country. And quite honestly, I mean, if you want more of the same, just put another establishment figure in. I don't understand any of this fighting and bickering back and forth, because we've got the biggest job ahead of us in November 16th. And as I said earlier in the program, you got to look at who these people are aligned with, who's backing them now. What are they doing? I still don't understand, Josh, how he's running around and celebrating non-voting wins for delegates. I understand it's a process, but we've got a bigger job ahead of us, because we've got bigger things to be concerned about. We've got debt that is $21 trillion. We have ISIS that is here in the U.S. We have open borders. We have 50-some million people on welfare. We don't have jobs. We don't have hope. We don't have opportunity. And if we don't turn this thing around, they're already talking about a massive economic collapse within the next couple of years. I mean, it's not like 20 years ago when there was just minor things that needed to be adjusted, where, you know, one, the Republicans come in, then the Dems come in, and we make some adjustments. No, we're at the point where we have been fundamentally changed. I mean, we've got ISIS in 50 states in this country waiting for the trigger, and they will take over. Just look at France and Belgium. So that's why, you know, I fight back when everybody says, well, he hates Muslims, he hates Mexicans. No, he made his point. We have to get a handle on what is happening in this country, because we have stupid people in charge of this country making stupid decisions. We're being laughed at by the entire international community. We need a leader. I'm going to take a breath. I'm going to, Josh, give another shout out to where people can find you. It's been great having you on tonight. Thank you. It's an honor. Josh, give a shout out to where people can find you before we close out.
No problem. You can go to Josh Bernstein, politicalwriter.com, or just go to Google, put in Josh Bernstein TV show or conservative, whatever. You'll find 10, 15 pages worth of stuff. You can find me on YouTube as well. And remember, folks, go to AMAC. Get rid of those AARP cards, AMAC.us.
God bless you. Thank you. It's been an honor.
No problem. Thank you.
Take care. Eric, bye. I ran away with the show, but this was a great show tonight. Thanks, Eric.